Welcome back to Block the Nigger with Jim Suhan. I'm Jim Suhan. The other voice you will hear is our longtime producer, Brandon Morton. This is my new talk show and opinion show at TalkNorth.com, where I spend so much of my time setting up my friends and colleagues. This is the show where I kind of let it loose. We just got the news. We're recording this on Wednesday night. Just got the news that former Vikings head coach Jerry Burns has passed away. I'm going to talk more in depth about this tomorrow morning with Jeff Diamond, who worked closely with Burnsy for any number of years and had a very close relationship with him. Jerry was the first head coach I covered when I came here from Dallas to work at the Star Tribune. I came here to be a Vikings beat writer. I did that job for 3 years before I started covering the Twins. I got to know Jerry Burns very well. My experience with him mirrors so many of my experiences with people I've covered over the years. We butted heads a lot. There were times he was really didn't like me, but I had a fondness for him. And, you know, once the pressure was off, we ended up having some great conversations. But what I loved about Jerry was that Jerry was Jerry. He would never put on airs. He never played any PR games. He never played any, you know, he was never trying to sell you anything. He was who he was. He liked having a beer. He loved talking football. He loved the players who made the Vikings great. I still remember we were talking about a quarterback prospect or a young quarterback at one point in the early 90s. And he looked at me and this is not a press conference. This is him sitting down in an easy chair in this little room that we use as the press room. It was just me and Greg Wong from St. Paul and Jerry Burns, and Jerry's sitting there having a beer. And we're sitting there talking. And Burnsy looks at me and he goes, "This guy, he's got to be more like Francis. Francis always found a way." And there was this sense of pride that he had worked with Fran Tarkenton and had that relationship with Fran Tarkenton and put that kind of trust in Fran Tarkenton. You know, he was a real guy. And, you know, I'll tell this story again just to kind of sum up Burnsy as a football coach. Burnsy is somebody, you know, that I covered for years. And of course, many of my colleagues covered for many years. Mike Lynn liked to have the team train in Tampa before they would play the Tampa Bay Bucks. Part of it to condition the team for heat. Part of it because I think Mike Lynn liked getting a tan that time of year. I'm not really taking a shot at Mike. I like Mike. But that was always the sense, was that Mike liked the sun as much as he liked the conditioning. So Greg Wong and I are covering the team as the respective beat writers from our papers. I think we're the only people that down there covering the team. Media was much different back then, much smaller, more intimate. And Burnsy's standing out on the field and getting fried by the Florida sun. And Merrill Swanson, the longtime PR director, comes up to him and says, "You know, if you really want to get anything out of Burnsy today, you know, invite him to your room, get him a beer." So Greg Wong's like, "Get him a beer. Hell, we'll get him a case, you know?" So we go out, we get a lot of beer. We put it in the hotel. I think it was Greg's room. I can't remember if it was Greg's room or mine. And we fill up the bathtub with ice and beer, and we invite Burnsy up. And Burnsy's kind of delighted because this isn't the usual BS. We're actually going to have a conversation. Well, Burnsy comes up, sits down in his chair. We get him a beer. And about every 5 minutes, Burnsy would get up, go to the bathroom, get rid of one beer, if you know what I mean, and grab another beer and come back and sit down. And he starts telling stories about Tarkenton and Joey Browner and Keith Mull. I mean, just telling these great stories, none of which could ever make it into print. And we are laughing and having a great time. And this goes on for a while. Well, at one point, and we haven't asked a single question that would benefit our newspapers at this point. At one point, Jerry gets up, goes to the bathroom, walks in, realizes the beer's all gone, comes back out and goes, "Boys, beer's gone, bullshit walks." And he just walks out and we get nothing else out of him. That was my quintessential Jerry Burns story. I'm very sorry that he is gone. I will miss him. I will miss, you know, I didn't talk to him a lot in recent years, but I do cherish the conversations I had with him. And so my condolences to everyone who knew Jerry Burns. And again, Jeff Diamond will offer much more depth on Jerry when we do the Jeff Diamond show later this week. So my condolences to the Vikings and everybody else. All right, Brandon, let's go to the 2-minute drill.
All right. Is it a Tebow time?
It's never Tebow time. And by the way, before I rip on Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer, reminder, this is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Best way, you can always find the shows at TalkNorth.com. You can follow us on Twitter, TalkNorthPod, see shows as they are released. You can, but subscribing is the easiest way to listen. And if you'd like to sponsor this show or any of the shows across the network, you can reach Karen Cleary, K-C-L-E-A-R-Y, at TalkNorth.com. And thanks again to Brandon for all the work he does for the network. So, and listen, I've seen pushback to when I've ripped on Tebow. You know, what does it hurt to give him a training camp invite to play tight end? You know, what? Why is it a big deal? Why don't you think he can make it? I'll try to keep this brief. This league banned Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee to protest the killing of unarmed black people. And he got banned from the league. Tim Tebow is getting job opportunities that Colin Kaepernick would never get. And Tim Tebow is 1/8 the quarterback, 1/8 the athlete that Colin Kaepernick was. And they're going to bring – so Tebow was a great college quarterback. He couldn't cut it in the NFL at his dominant position. He goes to play baseball. His career OPS, playing against guys an average of 5 years younger than him, which is a big deal in minor league baseball. If you're older, you have a major advantage, was 638. That will get you cut as a utility infielder, and he was trying to make it as a power-hitting corner outfielder. He couldn't hit at all. He was terrible. So he couldn't make it there. Now at 33, having never blocked a defensive end, never run a route, he's going to play tight end at the NFL level. It's ridiculous. The Vikings were ready to get rid of Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph is 20 times the tight end today that Tim Tebow could ever be. Tyler Conklin is 80 times. And here's where it's a mistake for Urban Meyer. He's bringing this guy in acting like a guy who can't play his position is going to be some kind of inspirational leader on his team, or could actually beat out a real young NFL tight end. Urban Meyer is exposing himself as someone who doesn't know how this league works, and it's going to backfire on him. That's enough about Tim Tebow.
That's more than enough about Tim Tebow. All right. Main man.
So I don't watch ESPN very much anymore unless there's a game on. But there was a time, and I'm going to, if you're younger than me, you might not know this. So that's why I'm going to explain this. You know, I was around when ESPN was a fledgling thing. We didn't think it was going to make it. All it was Australian rules football back then. But where ESPN started making inroads, really two areas. They started televising college basketball games you otherwise wouldn't get to see. And they brought Dwayne Pearl Washington into our living rooms when the Big East was just getting big. But the other thing was they had sports anchors who actually were smart and funny. And, we know what a local sports anchor is usually. It's somebody who kind of says dopey things and gets mad if the home team lost, right? This was sharp, funny. It was like being at the evening of an, it was like watching a polished stand-up comic give you the sports scores. Kenny Mayne was as good as any of the best. Olbermann was great at it. Dan Patrick was excellent at it. Stuart Scott was excellent at it. But Kenny Mayne was the funniest and the sharpest of them all. And he made you want to tune into SportsCenter even if you didn't care what happened in the sports world that day. And that is where ESPN has gone astray. Now there are no personalities you want to tune into. The only reason for me to tune into SportsCenter these days is if I really don't know what happened in the sports world. And guess what? I have Twitter, so I already know what happened in the sports world. So, SportsCenter used to be one of the best shows on television, and it was because of Kenny Mayne and people like Kenny Mayne. They offered him a 61% pay cut. He declined. He is now a free agent. I just hope he lands someplace. He's not only is he a true talent, he's also a really good-hearted person. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll see that he does the right things for the right reasons. He helps wounded veterans. So my hope is that Kenny Mayne lands someplace where he is an even bigger deal than he was at ESPN.
Yeah, I think that'll happen. And if people aren't aware, those sirens mean something is about to happen.
When you hear those sirens, it means I'm going to depart the sports world. I'm going to talk about the real world. You may not want to hear it. So skip ahead 2 minutes and you will miss it. But I'm going to talk about the real world. And today I'm going to talk about Liz Cheney. I follow politics very closely, probably too closely for my own health. I've always read things about, I understand what Russia is trying to do to America, because it's what Russia has been trying to do to America since we quote unquote won the Cold War. And I saw this week Liz Cheney take a stand against her Republican brothers and sisters and saying, yes, of course, Biden won the election. Of course, this is all ridiculous. Of course, we need to stand up to people who attacked our Capitol on January 6th. But here's the catch. Does Liz Cheney believe all that stuff? Yes. But this isn't just Liz Cheney saying what really happened. This is her realizing that the leadership of the Republican Party and Donald Trump are all facing all kinds of legal jeopardy and are going to be in no position to make a run for the presidency in 2024. This is Liz Cheney outsmarting all these people and giving herself a lot of credibility and a lot of publicity that's going to help her launch her presidential run. So everything she's saying is correct, but there's a lot of calculation there. And she realizes that all these people who could oppose her or seem to be in power now are going to be in deep trouble in the next year or two. And they have opened a door for her, and she is calculating enough to know how to walk through it.
Who would have thought a Cheney could be a mastermind?
They know what they're evil geniuses. Let's put it that way.
All right. The WNBA is so important.
That is a phrase that you hear around the WNBA all the time from people who care about the league, who cover the league intensively. And it is so true. The Lynx, we're recording this on Wednesday night. The Lynx start their season on Friday night. And, you know, I can't wait. And listen, I am a sports fan, but I'm a sports fan in the way that food critics are fans of food. They don't want to go to the fast food restaurant. They want the really good stuff, and they're very discerning. Well, I've been covering Minnesota sports for a long time, and I have some things that are, I love Viking games because they always feel so big. I love good Twins teams because they provide so many stories on a daily basis. I like the atmosphere of Wild playoff games. I love the Timberwolves when they're good, but hate being around them when they're bad. The great thing about the Lynx is they haven't taken any time off. They win 4 titles in 7 years, the only 4 titles for a major Minnesota sports team since 1991, and they rebuild on the fly. And now they're starting on Friday night, and they're going to be good. I don't know how good, but they're going to be good. And, I'm partially invested in this. I have Cheryl Reeve on this network, but I have Cheryl Reeve on this network because I admire her and I admire the way she runs her team. I'm really looking forward to this Friday night. I highly recommend you watch. If you haven't watched the WNBA before, watch it. It's a shame that they might not have a full roster, but I think they're going to be fascinating this season. I think McBride, Powers, and Achiuwa are going to make a big difference for a team that was in the semifinals last year. I'm really looking forward to this league starting. I'm guessing Brandon feels the same way.
Yeah, I'll also throw it out there too. Go see a game live if you can. There's not a better, more fan fun experience than going to a WNBA game. More specifically,
right.
The Lynx games. It is so much fun. It's like almost like the environment of a St. Paul Saints game, but with actually good gameplay. So
only with the best players in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing about the WNBA. The best players in the world are packed onto 12 rosters. That just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen in any sport. Any other sport that has this many good players has expanded 20, 30 teams. This is all-star teams against all-star teams.
All right, let's wrap things up with a little second guessing.
And by the way, I should have mentioned earlier in the show, in fact, my guest today, we do my opinions to start the show, and then we do one of my favorite guests at the end of the show. Today's guest is Lindsey Whalen. We had Mike Vec on last week. He was great. We've had Garrett Bradbury, Derek Falvey, and Nafisha Collier. We've had some great people on. Lindsey Whalen was nice enough to join me from Florida where she's on vacation. So that is coming up after this. So second guessing, as soon as the Twins struggle in any season, immediately what we hear from Twins fans is fire the manager, fire the manager, fire the manager. I've spent a lot of time on this over the years. Managers can't prevent a team from playing poorly, you know, and Rocco can't put in a good reliever when none of his relievers are good. There's no way. But so here's where I would recommend you second guess the Twins. And we talked about this with Roy Smile on the baseball show a little bit. The Twins don't believe investing heavily in closers because they feel like they're going to piece together things at the end of the game. I think this year is a reminder. And you know what? The first half of the 2019 season was also a reminder that if you have a truly solid closer, it sets up your team so well. Then you can use Colum A in spots and you're not completely dependent on him. You can use Rogers in the against prime matchups. So you don't have to say, you don't have to hope to say, he says something for the night. I think the Twins need to get traditional in their thinking and spend some real money next year on a real closer. Every really good team I've been around had a lockdown closer, and it's just amazing what it does for a team's psyche and what it how it enables you to use your other relief pitchers. I think if this team had an all-star closer instead of a complete, you know, lack of closer at this point, they might be 3-4 games better. And while that wouldn't give them a winning record, they'd still be in contention. I think the fact that they did not invest more in that position is what should be second guessed here. All right, now let's get to my conversation with Lindsey Whalen. Great to talk to her from Florida. Thanks again to Brandon Morton. Thanks again to everybody who listens to TalkNorth.com. Here's 10 minutes or more with someone I don't hate. It has been too long since I've had the chance to talk with Lindsey Whalen. Lindsey, how are you? How's your summer? How's life right now?
Life is good. Life is good. Yeah, I'm actually in Florida right now.
Oh wow!
So I'm on vacation.
Good for you.
And so just taking a little time. But you know, when you call or text or something, it's like, you know, I gotta make it happen. So, but no, it's It's good. We're down here. We come back in a few days, but there every year there's a recruiting shutdown period, right. And that was from the 2nd to the 9th. So last, you know, we got down here, and it's where you know, some time when you can really kind of shut off. All of our kids are home on the current roster, and then the recruiting that you can't, you know, make any calls, take any calls, things like that. So it's kind of a nice time as a lot of college coaches take. So we came down here to Florida and having a good time.
Well, it's funny because I'm officially on vacation from the Star Tribune. You are officially on vacation from recruiting and your job. And here we are talking. I shouldn't be bothering you on your vacation, but I do appreciate you taking the time.
No, absolutely. I'm posted up at a coffee shop, and it's been too long. So I was, Ben, we're on vacation, but these couple of days we've set aside a lot of the mornings to work and get stuff done because you know how it is. You yep. need to get stuff done. And so it's kind of nice to be able to, everybody's learned how to work somewhat remotely. So I'm posted up today, for, you know, a couple more hours. So great to get a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, no, good to catch up with you too. It's, you know, in better times, we'll see each other more often, obviously.
For sure.
How is Ben? I know he's still a great golfer. Is he still competing at golf right now?
So he is not as much as he did the last few years. So, you know, obviously before pandemic, he was playing for sure State Am, for sure State Open. He qualified 2 years in a row for the US Am. I actually got to go to the USAM when it was out in Pinehurst. So got to go to that. He's wow. going to play in a few this year. I think I'm guessing State Am, State Open. He really likes to play those and compete. That's all in July. So yeah, but less than he had even in the last few years, just working things, getting busier and whatnot, and wanting to have – you know, if you play those tournaments, they're 3-day events, and it kind of takes up a lot of time. So he's dialed it back, but yeah, I really enjoy when he goes and, you know, tries to, you know, qualify for the U.S. Open, USAM, and those things. So I hope he gets out there and competes a little more this summer.
Yeah, one of the coolest things I've gotten to do was cover Sammy Schmitz when he won the Mid-Am as a Minnesota right. amateur and went to the Masters. Right. That was just a blast. And the funny thing is that his teacher is like my occasional teacher, Joe Grubner. So I just had this great connection there. I was always thinking the only thing better than that would be to have Ben and Lindsey at the Masters.
Hey, that would be awesome. I You know, I think now that you say the mid-am, I think that's one that he is going to play or going to try to qualify this year as well.
Cool. So
yeah, hopefully he, I know that's the one where if you win, you, like Sam, you got to go play. So yep. Definitely that would be cool. So someday that'd be a dream come true for both of us. So I think that's one that he mentioned the other day that he's going to try to qualify for and play in as well. So we golfed the other day down here, and so golf is definitely, I've gotten more into it now that I've stopped playing. So it's something that's definitely still a very big part of, you know, both of our lives now.
Yeah, my wife is taking lessons from Joe right now, trying to kind of get a start in the game. I've always had a terrible, like, natural swing, so I'm trying to fix my swing. But, man, you live in Minnesota, and especially during a pandemic, I mean, playing golf is the perfect antidote. Just get outside and sweat a little bit and get away from sitting in your basement during a pandemic, you know?
It is a must. You know, I probably played last year more than I've ever played before. I played a lot in April because that was kind of the only thing we could do. And we were blessed last year, I remember, with a nice spring, nicer than we've had this year. And we were out playing second, third week of April. That was the one kind of activity that the governor, you know, said we could do safety wise. So I probably played 25 times last year, which is way more than I've ever played. And we weren't out in July recruiting because there was, you know, we really didn't have summer access with our team, and then there was no recruiting out watching, you know, the AAU tournaments and things. So yeah, it was kind of something that kept everybody sane, you know. Yeah. I mean, I, you know, got to go out and play, you know, with different people and things. So that's kind of the one saving grace is that it started towards the end of our winter, and we were able to golf and tennis and pickleball and go biking and those things. Cause if it wasn't for those things, I think we'd all gone a little more stir crazy than we already all did. So thank goodness we were able to be outside. Yeah.
So I get to talk to Cheryl on a weekly basis. Have you talked to Cheryl lately, and how are you feeling about this Lynx squad and the upcoming WNBA season? I'm kind of amazed that Cheryl's been able to put together another, you know, what looks like contending squad this quickly.
Absolutely. I'm fired up for the team. I've talked to her, Becky Brunson, on the staff. And so I've talked to both of them recently. Actually, I was just talking with Becky yesterday just about some different, you know, sets and offensive series that I think that Cheryl's going to put back in that we used to run a lot back in the day. I think the personnel that Becky was saying probably fits what she did back in the day. So I'm really excited to see how that goes this year. Definitely just excited. I wish I could go into practices and watch just to learn. That's been something that I think for me, I've really, you know, I know several coaches, but really close with three or four head coaches in the WNBA, and I'd love to go to training camps and watch, but this pandemic and things have kind of not allowed that. So hopefully next year, but with, you know, obviously waiting on McBride to get back, waiting on C to get back. It's, that part is always challenging this time of year, and it's extended. This pandemic, I think, has extended the season in Europe even longer. I mean, this is the longest. I was always back around the 7th or 8th at the latest. So hopefully they can play. I think it might, we'll see early on how they do, but I know Rachel stepped up big against the Mystics the other day. Nice to see Achanwa getting, you know, just integrated into the system because she's a post player that Cheryl loves to play. Fits her system with a lot of those elbow reads and things like that. Obviously still doing her thing, you know, returning the last two rookies of the year. I'm really fired up. I can't wait for Friday. And I just feel like, too, this WNBA women's basketball, we're really turning a corner. So I'm really excited for the whole season, but definitely excited for the Lynx. You know, I think that they have a squad that can do some things. So I'm excited for it to get going.
And have you seen, you know, Cheryl and I talk about the growth of the WNBA, the growth in popularity. Obviously, the quality of the league has always been there, but it seems like more people are recognizing it. Did you feel like women's college basketball is starting to move in that direction, too, especially after, you know, the quality ratings during this last Final Four and women's tournament?
I think so. I feel like even last year with when the WNBA was one of the first sports to get going when we were in the pandemic, it was they figured out the wobble, if you want to say it, down in Bradenton. And there was a weekend where it was the only thing really on. I don't think baseball had started yet. NBA was still trying to figure out getting back with their playoffs, if I remember correctly. I feel like it was kind of one of the only things on. So I think that there was that platform. Obviously, the social justice, times, the initiatives that they were able to do and accomplish the whole season. But then there's a couple different times when they really stood out to me and did a tremendous job. So then we fast forward into the college basketball season. We're able to have this season, and then you have a couple players and have some tremendous freshman seasons that I think really brought that national attention to the game. And then obviously Sedona Prince with her, just bringing the equality of, or the lack of equality with the weight rooms to the forefront, and then different coaches stepping up, and then just the quality of the play into the Final Four. You have a team like Arizona who, makes this great run and into the Final Four and is able to, take down UConn. I just think it was a great, great Final Four, great tournament. And it just feels like we're really gaining some momentum in women's basketball, and it's very exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah, agreed on all counts. Hey, do you like recruiting? Because that's one of those things I watch other people do, and I think, boy, I would be bad at it, and I wouldn't like it. But so do you like it, or you have to kind of force yourself to like it?
Yeah, you do, because it's what's you're recruiting, the kids that you want to bring into your program, and you want to bring them into your family, for you're so close. And so throughout those 4 years and throughout those seasons, you're an extension of family. You're just together all the time. And there's so many emotional aspects to a season that getting to know the kids now, if you didn't enjoy it, it'd be tough. There's some parts that it can be a little draining and a little much, but just trying to connect with, our future golfers and future generations. That's something that is fun, because you're each getting to know each other. Right now mostly on phone and FaceTime and Zoom, but hopefully here in June, once things ease up as far as the NCAA, safety, requirements and all that, we're able to recruit a little more. It'd be good, because you're cultivating those relationships and getting to know people and their family and, brothers, sisters. So it's a process that is important, and it's important to every, part of your program. So it's something that, and you're always recruiting, even, the players on your team. Now it's like, you're always recruiting. It's sharing a vision, getting a group to move forward together. It's constant. It's all the time. And it's just something that you have to want to embrace, because it's, I'm here to win and do things the right way. So the more young women that I'm able to bring on that want to do those things and do it the right way, the better. And I need to go find them, and hopefully we have a lot of success bringing them here.
I found it interesting for a stretch of my shows with Cheryl on the network, she would just kind of drop in. And I think, I think we might be seeing Lindsey Whalen in the Final Four next year in Minneapolis. She kept on just dropping that in almost as like just a little subtle note, And mm-hmm. At one point I asked her, so, you said that a few times now, do you really see Lindsey's program taking a jump? She said, I really do see Lindsey's program taking a jump. She's getting her own players in. She has talent. She has some more depth. Yep. Is that the way you view it?
Yeah. Going from, that's a huge jump, going to the Final Four. That's definitely something. That's a goal. That's why Mark hired me to come here, is to do those things. Now, we were 8-13. We won more Big Ten games this last year than the year before. We won 7 Big Ten games. Previous year, we won 5. Now we are the chemistry, the culture piece, which everybody talks about, it's starting to really take shape. You know, we're working on that. And now, like you said, we've got some real pieces that now are into their upperclassmen. You know, they're, you know, Jazz Powell, Sarah Scalia, Caddy, Sissoko, they're all juniors now. And so I think they're ready to take a big jump. Diva's coming back for a sixth year. She's my sixth year. So she's coming back. So we've got a lot of players who now have some serious Big Ten minutes that I'm looking forward to them taking a serious jump. And so no question, we want to play in the postseason. We didn't get to this year, you know, unfortunately. So it's, yeah, it's like you said, it's a process. It's something that there's no question that we're working towards, and we're you know, talking about it and also being about it. It's what it takes. And but yeah, that would be, if we did that, that would be very, very special. But you know, anything is possible, and anything is possible when you do things the right way, one day at a time, and you build little by little. So you know, it's something that obviously I do believe we have the talent. Now it's just putting it together and continuing to work together and seeing how things progress throughout the summer.
Good catching up with you. Once we're in better times, I'll drop by more often to your place. I can't wait to get back in the barn and see your team play a little bit more often. So for today, hey, just tell Ben I said hi, and enjoy yourself down there.
Well, thank you. You know, I will, and appreciate the time to catch up.
Great. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Lindsay. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, buddy.